Governor Scott Walker will deliver his 8th State of the State address later this month, where he will spell out his priorities for the coming year. The Wisconsin legislature has invited him to deliver that speech on Wednesday, January 24th. On this edition of the State Capitol Report, we're getting a preview of legislative priorities for 2018. Happy New Year to you. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at the agenda with a Democrat and Republican splitting the hour. Janet Bewley is a Democratic state senator from Ashland and the Senate Assistant Minority Leader. State Senator Bewley, welcome to the show.
Welcome, and I hope everyone is warm and safe this morning.
Well, let's start with a quick look back at 2017. Now that it's in our rearview mirror here, I can't believe it. What's your assessment of how the past year was for the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I think that while we always want to be able to look at the positive side and have good things to say, I think that we as a state have failed to address the issues that the people of Wisconsin have been telling us are the most critical, mostly in the funding of our rural schools. I represent a rural district, transportation, and of course with the opioid epidemic. We have a long way to go with those issues for the people of Wisconsin, and particularly for the people that I represent. We're still waiting for solutions for those three major problems.
So what legislative measure were you most proud of, and what were you most disheartened by?
Well, I think the budget, first of all, people have to be reminded that our budget is a piece of legislation, and it always reflects the priorities of the state. So, and when we look at it and we realize that, first of all, it was put on the back burner so that we could get Foxconn out of the way, if you will, it sort of told the people of Wisconsin that doing Foxconn and making those financial and budgetary decisions first puts the decisions that affect most of the people of the state of Wisconsin second. So in a way, and I don't mean to be overly dramatic, we had to sort of take the leftovers for the rest of the budget. And that was a hard thing to be able to explain to the people of my district. When it came to things that have happened, I think, that are good, I think that some of the progress that we're making towards addiction problems is a good sign of better things to come. We have started a very difficult road, and I think that with more attention and with, unfortunately, of course, more funding, which is always a requirement, we have good things to look forward to in 2018.
State Senator Janet Bewley, how are you generally feeling then about what 2018 may bring?
Well, as a Democrat, I have to be very realistic, and I have to know that with a Republican agenda that Democrats have to react to, we have to do the best of our work in working with those in the majority to see the importance of those values that Democrats bring to the table, and to work in committee, work one-on-one with Republicans who are willing to work with us to make changes to legislation to at least begin to address some of the concerns that we have, and to move forward in those important areas where we do agree, so that we can have a balanced set of priorities for our state.
We're talking right now with State Senator Janet Bewley on this first State Capitol Report of the year. You can join in with your questions. What should lawmakers, state lawmakers, accomplish in 2018? What would you like to see state lawmakers do with your tax dollars? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's get into some of the specifics here. It was announced last week that Governor Scott Walker's state address would be given January 24th. He's already laid out plans to spend nearly $7 million to attract out-of-state workers, namely from Chicago, Detroit, and the Twin Cities to Wisconsin. Republicans are pretty much supportive of that idea. Where do you come down on it?
Well, you know, again, I have to look at the district that I represent. I would much rather see money spent to keep the people from leaving our state. So for us, I would imagine that $7 million will not affect northern Wisconsin at all, because they're not going to be trying to encourage people to move to northern Wisconsin. It's going to be targeted to other parts of the state. So there's my first concern. Again, my second concern is that we need to maintain those investments in infrastructure throughout the state so that we don't have what I'm seeing now, which are two Wisconsins, the Wisconsin that has the good roads and the parks and the good schools and access to lots of health care providers, and then rural areas that don't have those things and are losing population because of it.
Our next guest, Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinecke, is the co-author of a bill that would make it easier for developers to build on wetlands. They would no longer need DNR permits to fill artificial or state wetlands, but they'd have to continue to compensate for wetland losses. Senate President Roger Roth said this is all about streamlining the permitting process, and they held a joint hearing late last month that the measure would affect only a fraction of the state's wetlands because most are under federal jurisdiction. Should Wisconsin relax these regulations? Are you there, Janet Buehle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were talking to Representative Steinecke.
Oh, no. No, and he is the co-author of this legislation.
Right.
How do you feel about it?
Well, I have to listen to my constituents and my own heart, which is, you know, we have been making changes to how we manage our natural resources, and we are consistently reducing the number of people, the number of scientists, and the number of people who have the ability to be enforcing the kinds of things that are happening. And if we continue down this path, this is just one more place. We have been so-called adjusting the regulations pertaining to wetlands over and over and over. And at some point, we have to say no more. The necessity of maintaining wetlands is so important to our state that I've pretty much drawn a line in the sand and said we can't go any further.
So you see this as kind of the next iteration of tweaking
absolutely
how we deal with wetlands in the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said we shouldn't expect a terribly active year and that a lot of GOP priorities were taken care of last year, like Foxconn. He said hot button issues like banning medical research on fetal tissue from abortions and concealed carry without a permit are probably not going anywhere due to a lack of support. Do you feel this is going to be a slow year in 2018?
Well, again, it's going to be a short year, that's for sure, because we are going to, speaking for the Senate, probably 3 days of session work. Now, again, in one session day, you can pass 20, 30 pieces of legislation. So it's a significant amount, but most of them will not be the kind of divisive issues that people are going to want to vote on before they run for re-election. Now, we have to keep in mind that when we are done, which could be as early as February or March, depending upon how the Assembly and the Senate majority leaders communicate, we're going to be having people leave the Capitol and be ready to campaign. So Representative Voss is speaking from the position of not wanting to force votes on issues his members will not want to vote on. They would rather not take votes that are going to be difficult to support when they go run for re-election. The Senate is slightly different. Fitzgerald is indicating that he may be willing to go a longer into March. He has suggested at least 3 days. And so there's going to be some conversations going on between the Assembly and the Senate.
And Senate,
just how much longer we're going to be in session.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald tweeted that year-end interviews that Voss and Democratic leaders gave amounted to fake news. So, yeah, we'll see how much does get done. The legislature is only expected to be in session a handful of days, giving lawmakers a limited window to take up proposals. On the State Capitol Report, we have State Senator Janet Bewley, who stays with us to talk through priorities. She is a Democrat from Ashland and the Senate Assistant Minority Leader. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see state lawmakers accomplish in 2018? We'll return with your thoughts after a check of this news. It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. First one of the new year. Thanks for starting your year with us. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said, "We had kind of a hyperactive 2017, getting a lot of our priorities enacted," end quote. 2018 is not supposed to be nearly as intense. Democratic State Senator from Ashland, Janet Bewley, stays with us. She is the Senate Assistant Minority Leader. Your questions and thoughts on what legislative priorities should be at hand, 800-642-1234. Should Wisconsin spend nearly $7 million to lure workers from outside the state? Would you like to see a new prison built in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Tom, who's in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
If we gave Foxconn $3 billion, we should have had the right to tell them what part of the state we wanted it to be put into, because we had the cards. And every state senator and representative in our state should be held accountable by their constituents. They say, well, if this was so good for Racine County and Kenosha County, how come you didn't fight to put it up in our county? And I think that should be one of the themes that's going to be played out from now on until the election. The next thing I would like to point out maybe is that our wetlands are very, very important because they supply the water that waters our crops. And this, if you destroy the wetlands and look at it all around the country, that water hurts the farmers. If we don't get the water, the farmers lose money. Just do the mathematics. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, Tom. Thanks for calling in. State Senator Janet Bewley, can you tackle both of those, the placement of Foxconn and water for farmers?
Well, I think that a lot of the conversation about Foxconn was probably done even before the legislation was passed. It was probably pretty clear that there were certain areas that Foxconn wanted to locate, and the people that were involved in those discussions, a lot of that happened before the legislation was presented. So we just saw some of those, you know, sort of predetermined decisions made before we even got a chance to look at the legislation. And the legislation, by the way, came to us very, very late. We did not have a chance to examine it carefully. The actual contract between the state of Wisconsin and Foxconn was rather difficult to obtain, although I know that there were people, in the majority that were able to be in on those conversations and have access to that. It was an unfortunate sort of time for us because as one who's representing a rural district a good distance away from where Foxconn will be located, none of the arguments of how it is going to benefit the entire state are really going to come true. It's been absolutely silent. And now, at a time when they're going to be talking about luring more people to the state, if that was necessary, should that not have been built into what Foxconn is going to pay for? I know that it said, well, we're not just going to advertise to bring people to Wisconsin for Foxconn, but again, I'm very curious about how I can sell this to the people in my part of the state that we are going to get any benefit out of Foxconn or $7 million to advertise how great it is to move to Wisconsin.
Let's go to Lou in Oconomowoc. Hi, Lou.
Hi. You just kind of hit on my point. The Foxconn thing's really just got me irritated. $3 billion, one of the biggest giveaways ever for a private corporation, foreign corporation. Now they're talking about they need these lanes for their driverless trucks, and by God, they don't want to pay for those either. So there's another. I'm hearing up 300 some million or $175 million for that kind of infrastructure for them. They're talking about, well, like I say, now they want to advertise outside of the state, when all along we were sold this as this was going to be good for state employer, for the people of state of Wisconsin. And I'm even hearing now where they're even talking. Foxconn was actually talking about bringing in one private vendor that would actually produce the boxes. And this guy would be, these people would have been from out of the country producing the boxes when we've got plenty of resources within this country. Again, everything that keeps getting sold to us by these Republicans is just a gutting.
Lou, thanks for
the middle class here.
Got it. Lou, thanks for calling in. Bringing up multiple points, water, advertising, transportation, it seems Lou is concerned about outsourcing what we're trying to bring into Wisconsin.
Well, and I share his concern. Thank you, Lou. I'll add another one, that Foxconn is going to get wholesale utility rates, wholesale electric rates, and the PSC just approved that, distributing the cost to other ratepayers in the state. They approve it. So the ratepayers of the state of Wisconsin are going to subsidize Foxconn. So not only did we, as the caller state, give away, and it was the largest giveaway to a private corporation outside the country,
well,
ever in the history of the United States. So I agree.
We got to move on now from Foxconn. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he doesn't see any way around building a new prison to deal with overcrowding in other facilities. What's your take on that?
Well, number one, I think we need to look at the prisons that we have now, who's in there, and are we treating them in a humane way? And I think that the answer is no. Our prisons are overcrowded. We need to do something about the people that are in there right now and make sure that we are using compassion along with the need to keep people in prison and do something about it. I would want a very, very thorough look at the numbers, at how it is we are going to sell to the people of Wisconsin that we anticipate jailing or putting people in prison more to be able to justify building another prison.
What should be done with the juvenile prison, Lincoln Hills?
Well, I think Lincoln Hill should be almost removed from any conversation and dealt with separately. Mm-hmm. I've been to Lincoln Hills. I have been to several prisons in the state. I wish that we were able to deal with the prison population that we have now in the facilities that we have, but find other ways to reduce the number of people who end up in these prisons in the first place. There are many things that we can do, and the number of juveniles that end up in adult prison because they are tried as an adult at the age of 17 has got to stop. We have got to stop sending 17-year-olds to prison.
Governor Scott Walker is up for re-election this year, and there is this long list of Democrats vying to unseat him. How vulnerable is Walker this year?
Oh, I think that Walker is vulnerable. I think that the mood of not only the state but of the nation to the to this sort of lockstep following of President Trump is frightening to people. And they see the state of Wisconsin doing that, this blind adherence to what President Trump wants to do falls on the shoulders of our own governor. And he's going to need to defend his loyalty to President Trump and how being loyal to Trump forces these rather draconian decisions that are being made in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, State Senator, thank you for making time for us, and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Janet Bewley is a Democratic state senator from Ashland and the Senate Assistant Minority Leader. And now let's continue this state capitol report hearing about Republican priorities. Jim Steinecke is a state representative from Kaukauna and the Assembly Majority Leader. Representative Steinecke, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, as we did with Janet Bewley, before we get into 2018, let's briefly talk about the year that was. Are you generally pleased with what state Republicans accomplished in 2017?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a busy calendar year. We set a course of our agenda and our priorities back in late 2016. And I think, by and large, the work that we did over the course of 2017 adhered to that agenda, and we got a lot of things accomplished.
Well, how could 2017 have been more productive? How could it have been better?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we accomplished a lot of the goals that we set out in our forward agenda from 2016, so I'm pretty happy with the level of productivity. Obviously, there's always things that we'd like to see happen that didn't happen. One of the things during the budget debate, obviously, the Assembly was leading on trying to come up with a long-term fix for transportation funding, and unfortunately, while we were able to reduce the level of bonding in the budget, we weren't able to come up with a real long-term fix for transportation funding. So I guess if there was a disappointing part of 2017, that was probably it.
Well, word on the street is that Republicans aren't planning a very active agenda this year. What's going to be your baseline for success in 2018?
Well, the things we're going to continue to work on are things that I think have a broad base of concerns from people throughout the state. We had a task force on, foster care in Wisconsin, how to reform the system so that we can encourage more people to become foster parents, because that's an issue not only in Wisconsin but throughout the country. Unfortunately, with the opioid epidemic, we're seeing more and more kids entering into the foster care system. So we had a task force that was bipartisan go out and come up with a package of legislation that we look forward to taking up early in 2018 here.
Talking with Republican State Representative Jim Steinecke, and he is also the Assembly Majority Leader, you can join in with your thoughts on what the year should bring legislatively at 800-642-1234. You can also send your thoughts via email to ideas@wpr.org. What is your hope for state government in 2018? Join us, 800-642-1234. Let's talk specifically about some of the items Republicans may be taking up in the weeks and months ahead. Governor Walker wants to spend almost $7 million on advertising to lure workers from Detroit and Chicago, the Twin Cities, to Wisconsin. Democrats are saying that's wasteful spending and that fundamental policy changes are needed to attract more millennials. Why are Republicans largely supportive of this advertising campaign?
Well, I think the big thing, everybody recognizes the fact that Wisconsin, while we're in a really good position economically and our unemployment rate is really low, we have thousands and thousands of jobs every day that are going unfilled because we don't have the skilled labor force to fill those jobs. So there's a couple different ways we're attacking that. We're still working on workforce training to try to get those people that are still unemployed or underemployed the training that they need to fill those skilled jobs. But at the end of the day, Wisconsin's workforce is aging, and we're going to need people moving in from out of state to help fill the jobs that we're going to have in the future here.
Governor Walker is scheduled to give his annual State of the State address on January 24th. It's a little ways off yet, but anything in particular that you'd like to hear him say?
Well, I think any State of the State address, the best thing that you can hear from the governor, whoever that governor is laying out their priorities not only for the next year, but of course this is an election year. So laying out the priorities, if he would get reelected in November, what his priorities would be for the next 4 years. And I think that's it's going to be important for people to hear leading into November 2018.
We saw and heard some unusual infighting among Republicans when it came to the budget in 2017. Do you think that this friction will continue into 2018?
No, I think that's largely behind us. I mean, you know, the good thing, I think the people of the state should feel pretty good about where we're at and who they have in leadership down in Madison. And I don't say that just because I'm the majority leader, but I say that more because, you know, people assume that if one party controls all of all of Wisconsin or all of the nation, that everybody's just going to walk in lockstep. And that's just not the case. We all represent different districts. We all have different ideas, and we fight for those. And, you know, sometimes that leads to longer debates and things not exactly working as smoothly as they could. But at the end of the day, we were able to pass a budget that lowered property taxes for everybody, that invested a historic amount in public education. And, you know, granted, like I said, we didn't get to a long-term fix on transportation, but, you know, we were able to reduce the overall level of bonding. So our situation can get better in the future here.
You're co-authoring a bill that would no longer require developers to get DNR permits to build on wetlands. Let's bring in Jim in River Falls with a comment along those lines. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thank you for taking my comments. I'm very concerned about, I think, Assembly Bill 547. I think it's short-sighted not to protect wetlands. It supposedly, our laws in Wisconsin protect isolated wetlands, and federal laws protect wetlands that are connected to navigable waters. But those isolated wetlands, which is about 1 million acres that are under threat, are very important for groundwater. They're important to protect communities from flooding, and they're really important for the environment and for people's water resources here in the state. And we're seeing, you know, all over the country, problems with flooding and groundwater contamination and things like that. And so, you know, we don't have a lot of our wetlands left anymore here in the state, and I think it's important to protect the ones that we do have.
And very quickly, State Representative Jim Steinecke, can you respond? And then perhaps on the other side of the break, you can go into in more in-depth.
Sure. Yeah, it's not something you can really encapsulate briefly. But, no, and I appreciate his concern. And really what we're trying to get at is just streamlining a process that's already in place. There's about 5 million acres of wetlands in Wisconsin. At least 4 million of those are protected by the federal government. What we're talking about are little pockets of wetlands in, you know, quote-unquote wetlands in farm fields, depressions in farm fields. In Wisconsin, we also protect artificial wetlands. So those are things that can be created literally by tire ruts in the ground and water pools in those tire ruts, and all of a sudden it's deemed a wetland, so that's protected under Wisconsin law. So what we're trying to get at is just streamlining a process to allow development to occur in a timely fashion.
And we're going to have to pause right there.
Sure.
We're
no
getting
problem.
A preview of legislative priorities in the State Capitol Report. We're with State Representative Jim Steinecke, who is also Assembly Majority Leader. You can call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back after this news. Here we are together on this first day of January. Glad you're along with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Capitol Report continues with Republican State Representative Jim Steinecke. He is the Assembly Majority Leader. And you can be on the line at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see state lawmakers accomplish in 2018? Should Wisconsin spend nearly $7 million to lure workers from outside the state? Would you like to see a new prison built in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, as we were discussing before the news, you're co-authoring this bill that would no longer require developers to get DNR permits to build on wetlands. There have been some critics, including Democratic Senator Mark Miller, who says filling wetlands reduces flood protection, eliminates natural pollution filters, and destroys wildlife habitat. Can you respond to these criticisms and explain to us why is your proposal necessary?
Well, I appreciate that. I think what's important to realize is that even under current law, there's a permitting system in place to fill in these isolated and artificial wetlands. So by and large, these permits are being granted. According to what we've heard from the DNR, about 99% of these permits are being approved as it stands today. But it's a process that can take months and cost thousands upon thousands of dollars. And when you're looking at the cost of housing rising dramatically over the course of a number of years, and you look at the root cause of that, about 25% of the overall cost of a new construction home is tied up in regulations. About 15% of the cost of to develop a new lot in the state is tied up in regulations. So what we're trying to get at is that regulatory burden that ends up driving up the cost of housing. And this is one of those proposals that I think will do that. Now, we're working with interested parties. People have raised some concerns, and so we're working with groups in order to address some of those concerns. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to get to a point where we're protecting Wisconsin wetlands. We're actually improving a process to create more wetlands in Wisconsin and still allow development to occur more efficiently and cost less money for the consumers and developers at the end of the day.
Moving on now to overcrowded prisons, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he doesn't see any way around building a new prison to deal with overcrowding at existing prisons. Let's bring in Pat in Wauwatosa, who would like to address this point. Pat, go ahead.
Yes, I have several points. The prison, as you were just speaking of, there is a way you could release some of the prisoners that have could be released from prison. We could think of alternative community-based programs. We have twice as many people in prison in the state of Wisconsin as in the state of Minnesota. It tells us something is very wrong. Well, my original call was about the new fee, registration fee for automobiles. I am not against the registration fee for all of us in the state of Wisconsin to pay for our roads. But I am an 88-year-old woman with a 12-year-old Prius with 80,000 miles on it, some of it put going driving to Cleveland. And it seems I know people in Mequon related to me have two big, heavy cars, and they're not paying this fee. That shows that it's not well thought out to put the fee statewide on Prius owners who were concerned about the environment.
Pat, thank you so much for bringing up two points. Before we get to the registration fee, though, Representative, can you address the prison situation?
We haven't talked about this as a caucus yet, but I think Pat's right in several areas. I mean, I think we do have to get smarter on criminal justice reform. We have to do more innovative things to, instead of just sending people to prison, we've got to do more innovative things to get them rehabilitation and hopefully head off the career criminal, aspect from occurring. But we also have a huge crime problem in the state, and especially in some of our urban areas. And you have to work really hard to get into prison in Wisconsin. It's not something, people don't go to prison for minor offenses. you have to work pretty hard to get into the prison system. So we have to make sure that we're doing things smart and that we're trying to get rehabilitation for people early on in the process when they first commit crimes. But then for those people that reoffend, we have to protect society. That's one of our main responsibilities as elected officials.
Do you have a rough idea of what a new prison would cost or where it may go?
No, I think that's really early on too.
In the
discussion. There has to be a study done, and all sorts of things have to occur first before we get that far down the road.
Well, Pat also brought up the inequality in vehicle registrations. What would you say to that point?
Well, Pat, my parents, who happen to be in their 80s as well, also own a Prius. So this wasn't a real popular idea with them as well. But when you look at it, the main thing that we're trying to get at is trying to make sure that people who use the roads are paying for the roads and as equally as possible. Now, she brought up heavy trucks. They typically have much higher use of gas, so they pay much more into the road systems than a Prius would. So as we go into the future, we rely on about 54% of our revenue for transportation-related costs come from the gas tax. And as we get more and more electrics on the road, more and more hybrids, that number is going to continue to come down unless we add some kind of a fee back on electrics and hybrids to make up for that loss in gas tax revenue.
Pat, thank you so much for that call. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss predicted a relatively quiet year and that issues like banning medical research on fetal tissue from abortions and concealed carry without a permit probably aren't going to be taken up. But then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald tweeted out that Voss's year-end interviews amounted to, quote, fake news. Where do you come down? Is the Assembly going to move on any of these more controversial issues ahead of the 2018 midterms?
Yeah, I just think some of those issues that you mentioned just don't have enough support from our caucus to move forward. We don't have 50 votes to pass some of the things that you mentioned. So I doubt that they would be coming up. However, if the Senate were to act and send bills over, obviously, then we'd have to take a look at them. But at this point, I just don't see enough support in our caucus for some of those things you mentioned.
What do you really want to come up in this session?
I think the biggest things are we want to continue to figure out ways that we can get our workforce trained and ready for the skilled jobs that are here now and that we know are coming in the future here. So that's going to be a big priority. The foster care task force bills, the 13 bills that came out of that task force, are critically important for Wisconsin's foster care community, not only to make sure that we're properly supporting the people that are in it now, but also trying to attract more people to be foster parents in the future. And then the criminal justice reform. So we've got some criminal justice reform bills that are currently in the Assembly that we're going to be looking at in the spring here.
Representative, a lot of Democrats are lining up to take on Governor Scott Walker this fall. Does the governor have anything to worry about in terms of losing his seat, or is he in good shape?
Well, I think anytime there's an election, the people that are running for election should be worried about it, just because that's the nature of elections. You have to go out there and you have to prove your case. And I think here in Wisconsin, if results are any indication, and if people really look at the track record over the course of the last 7 years, I think the record of results is there. We have one of the highest labor participation rates in the country, one of the lowest unemployment rates. We've made historic investments in public education. Our budget is in good shape. There's a lot to be proud of in Wisconsin here. And I think once people look at, what has occurred over the course of the last 7 years and if ask themselves the age-old question, are you better off than you were 8 years ago, 7 years ago? I think the answer is undoubtedly yes.
How confident are you that the U.S. Supreme Court will uphold Wisconsin's legislative maps, which Republicans drew in 2011?
I think it's a fool's errand to try to predict what the Supreme Court of the country is going to do. But I feel confident in our arguments that the legislatures should be the one drawing the maps. These things shouldn't be heading to courts on an ongoing basis here, and our maps adhere to the tests of being compact, contiguous, and keeping like communities of interest and together as much as possible. So I'm pretty confident in the case that we've made.
Are you concerned that the Supreme Court will ultimately have the final say on this?
No, I think that's where it should be. You know, we're comfortable that those maps adhere to the constitutional test, and I think the Supreme Court's going to validate that.
Democrats, both here in Wisconsin and across the country, are hopeful that they'll make up a lot of ground in Congress this fall, which may bleed over into Wisconsin elections. How concerned are you about 2018 being a wave year for Democrats, especially in Wisconsin?
I'm not overly concerned about it. I mean, you know, typically the politics are, act like a pendulum. They move back and forth, and sometimes parties win elections, sometimes parties lose. But again, I think when the people look at a track record of results, especially here in Wisconsin, I think they're going to validate what we've done at the ballot box.
Well, here we are, the first day of 2018, and our closing 30 seconds or so. What's your hope for Wisconsin as we dive into a new year of politics and another round of campaigns?
Well, I hope that people running their campaigns, especially not only candidates themselves, but outside influences, will focus on the issues, try to divide the people of the state, because I think people are sick of the old style politics. I think they want to hear from politicians and candidates what their ideas are and how they're going to improve the state, and not necessarily how terrible the other person is that they're running against.
Well, State Representative Jim Steinecke, thank you so much for dedicating time on your New Year's Day to be with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Jim Steinecke is a Republican state representative from Kaukauna and the Assembly Majority Leader. Earlier, we talked with Democratic State Senator Janet Bewley from Ashland. The State Capitol Report, it was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina, with technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.